Our scripture passage this morning that Pastor Dan will be preaching on is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. If you are using a Pew Bible here in the ESV version, it is on page 1006. Page 1006, Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 15. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them.
Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. I don't know why. Every time Pastor Jack leaves, he makes me sign this waiver. I haven't had my people look at it yet, so I'm not quite, I don't know exactly sure what he says, what it says in there. So I can't be held responsible for stuff I don't know. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for a wonderful week with the children, Father. What a blessing they are. And thank you for the opportunity that you give us to pour into them and the blessing that it is for us to see what faith looks like through the eyes of a child. So, Father, we thank you for that. We praise you for that. We lift up our pastor to you. We ask you to give him a time of relaxation with his family and create memories. Lord, we thank you for our church. We thank you for the church worldwide, too. And we ask you just to strengthen us, to give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the courage to go out and spread the gospel, Lord. Be with us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So VBS is over, and like my body can finally almost figure out what day it is. And you're like, we love that it starts Sunday, because like you get the week, like Friday nights, like it's Friday. But Monday feels like Tuesday, and Tuesday feels like Wednesday, and Thursday feels like November, and like you have no idea what's going on, and you're just, please hold on. So jet lag got nothing on VBS. I mean, that is for sure there. But VBS is great, and we have so many memories of things that happened at VBS this year and years past. I remember the first VBS I was here, my responsibility was Augie Bragg, so I got to be in charge of Augie, and so we're hanging out, and everything was in this room at that time because the addition wasn't on. So we're doing music in here, and I'm dancing with Augie. And Augie was, you know, Augie's very slender, and he was very slender when he was a child. And he was, I don't know how old he was, but he probably weighed about 35 or 40 pounds at the time. And I'm just swinging him back and forth, and we're dancing. And he looks at me. He goes, "Throw me in the air, Mr. Dan." So I get all excited, and I get low, and I throw him up in the air. And as he hits, like, the pinnacle up there, I realize that, like, I have a really poor decision-making process. And he's up there, and just as he hits the apex, the pinnacle, I can hear my high school coach, football coach, in my ear. And he's like, "Hands of stone, hands of stone." And then the next voice that comes in my ear, Corn Brag. So fear, like now I've got just fear rolling through me. And he's coming down in what seemed like an eternity. And by the grace of God, I catch him. I lay him down, I sit him down, and we're dancing, and I'm rethinking bad decisions. And he looks at me with like, his eyes are big, and he like stumbles back and catches himself. And he looks at me, he's like, "Do it again, Mr. Dan." And I'm like, all right, bad decisions, here we go. So that was my first water dam memory. And out of the mouths of babes, like, it's constant. And this past week, there were, obviously, Meredith hit the you know, these kids opening their hearts to Jesus is, like, just absolutely amazing. And that's why we do this. That's exactly why we do this. So it's beautiful. And these kids say the most amazing things, and they're truthful all the time. And in large group, Trish and Evan Caldwell, they were doing large group, and they did a fabulous job. It was awesome. And they got the kids engaged. It was a skit, and the kids get engaged. And Evan says, can anybody tell me how you get to heaven? The little girl raises her hand. She goes, well, you got to die. And I'm like, Evan, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Watch what you ask these kids. Same night, different group. Still not learning. Evan says, all right, anybody know the Ten Commandments? Safe, right? Little kid in the front row raises his hand. Evan's like, go ahead, son, go ahead. And he says, thou shalt not steal. And Evan, you can see Evan's face. He was like, oh, this is going to be okay. The kid goes, your neighbor's wife. Out of the mouths of babes, you know? So yeah, it was VBS. It's something else because we get to love on the kids. We get to fellowship with each other. It's a huge undertaking. Meredith, you did a great job of mentioning the names. Like, you can't mention it. It's a blessing. So, and it doesn't work without all the hands and the feet and everything that everybody did. So thank you. So much. How many youth did you say? 36 youth. So good job, Scotty. So it's just a blessing. Our church is wonderful. I love our church. I love Mi Familia. Love it. So, and Scotty, thank you for reading the word today. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to dig into the word right now. We are digging into the gospel of Mark. Mark's gospel, shortest gospel of the four. It's universally accepted that it would be the first of the four that was written. In Mark's gospel, it's action-packed. It's fast-paced because Mark wrote this gospel, and it's basically the memoirs of Peter. So as Paul poured into Timothy, Peter did the same thing with Mark. So Mark was like Peter's disciple, if you will, his mentee. So it's written very much like Peter. We know Peter. Peter's crazy. Peter's a madman. Peter's the guy who cut the ear off of the guard in the garden. So Peter doesn't always think straight, you know. So he's action packed. He's like an action hero, and that's what the Gospel of Mark is like. It's action packed. The word immediately is used like 40 times within the Gospel. It's really a great understanding of how Peter saw Christ, and obviously it's written by the Holy Spirit, so we know that, but it's just action-packed. But at the same time, because it is written by the Holy Spirit, there's order to it. There's specific order, and there's reasons why certain things are put in the order that they're in, the way that Mark is explaining the gospel. So if you will, if you'll turn with me to Mark 10:13, and it starts out with, and they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. So earlier in this chapter, in chapter 10, you see that they were leaving Judea. They came from Judea, and I always picture, like, Jesus was always on the move. And people always wanted to be around him. They always, because he's the Messiah. People wanted to learn from him. They wanted to be around him. They just wanted to be around Jesus. So I see, like, Jesus teaching. And at this point, he was done teaching what he was teaching. He was sitting there. And the they that they're talking about in verse 13 are the parents of these children. So the parents, like any parent would, if Jesus was here, we would want, any parent would want, or anybody would want the kids to go to Jesus, right? And that's what these parents want. They want their kids to go to Jesus so Jesus can just touch them. Can they just be touched by Jesus and blessed by him? Because they knew the power of Christ. They knew who Jesus was. They knew how powerful he was, how mighty he was. And you think about, it's in Mark chapter 9, where the woman who, she had been bleeding for 12 years, and she thought to herself, if I just touch his robe, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be healed. And she touches his robe, and she's healed. And these parents would have thought the same thing. Like, if my kid could just be had the hands of the Lord laid on them, what a great thing it would be. But the disciples, they rebuked them, right? And rebuking means that they're kind of correcting them in their own eyes. You know, they're telling them not to be there, not to go to them. They're like, hey, don't you know who this is? Do you think he actually has time for these kids? You're like, kids with Jesus? Are you kidding me? Like, this is the man. He surely doesn't have time. You know, he is tired. He needs a rest, and he surely doesn't have time for all these kids, you know? So they get rebuked. Now, the weird thing is this. Back in ancient times, pagan religions, they had like a... Children were almost like a throwaway item in that if a child had any type of anything that would be considered of a disability in any way, shape, or form. So if a child was born with a cleft palate or in the birthing process, hips get a little, a little messed up a little bit, or any type of thing, those kids would have been placed outside and the elements would have taken care of the child in a very harsh way. And there were like leaders at that time, kings of that time, when they would have a child, they would see the child. They would spend some time with the child in the beginning, and then that child would go off, and that child would go to school, and that child would be brought up. And if that child was deemed worthy enough to be part of the kingdom, then the king would welcome that child back. It was an object. Children could be seen as an object. Now, the Jews were totally different. God told the Jews, you are set apart. You are not like the world. You are set apart. You are my chosen people, and you will not act like the world. So the Jews held children in a high regard. Children were family. Like, they were a high regard. They lived in the house. And we see through the Gospels, every time there's like somebody with, the blind man or the a man that was inflicted with evil spirits, the family was still around. Like, the family never, like, totally went away. So you see when there was restoration, the person was brought back to the family and everything. So children were held at a high regard, high regard. And here you have the disciples rebuking the parents, which would have been weird, you know? But that just goes to show, like, how much they put Jesus on a pedestal, which they absolutely should have, okay? So you have these kids who parents, we just want Jesus to touch them, and they get rebuked by the disciples. And in verse 14, you see Jesus, it says, but when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He was indignant of them. And he said to them, let the children come to me, do not hinder them, for such belongs the kingdom of God. So Jesus understood the importance of children and them being with him. He understood that rearing them up, not hindering them, was essential. And he was indignant. He was indignant. And that word indignant doesn't mean that he was mad. He wasn't just mad. He was saying, I am mad. He's saying, I am mad, and how dare you? Indignant means, I am mad, how dare you, and you know better. It wasn't just like I'm mad. And I said to you, there's an order to God's word. There's an order to this gospel. There's an order to what Mark put down here. And if you turn to the left a little bit and you go to Mark 9, and you see in Mark 9, verse 33, and they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, what are you discussing on the way? What were you discussing on the way? So Jesus wanted to know, what were you guys talking about? He's talking to the disciples here. He's like, what were you guys talking about? And what they were talking about was who was the greatest. Who was the greatest amongst them was the greatest. So the way that Jesus answers this, he says to them later on in verse 5, he says, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and a servant of all. And he took a child, he put the child in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. So he's obviously, he has had this conversation with them before. He's had this conversation with them before. And then just prior to this encounter, earlier in Mark 10, he's teaching about divorce. Because they're coming to him and they're trying to get him in, they're trying to catch him in you know, a trap. And they're trying to they're trying to get his opinion, like who, you know, what's the deal on divorce? And in 10:11, he says to them, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. So he's basically saying, listen, both. Nobody gets out of this. And I think he does it this way because he's frustrated. And then you go into here in 13 where he becomes indignant. He becomes indignant, and he's like, okay, you're trying to figure out who's the greatest. Doesn't matter. Here's a kid. Let me show you a childlike faith. Here's a kid. This is the greatest. The idea that a child knows who I am, but you're still not there yet. Let's talk about divorce. He's like, no. Let's talk about James Dobson and focus on the family, and we can look at this child. Let's bring up this child. Let's look at these kids, because that's what's important. And he was indignant. He said, let the children come to me and do not hinder them. For to such belongs the kingdom of God. Do not hinder them. They were rebuked. Do not hinder them. They were rebuked. In the ancient times, like I said, kids were like a throwaway item. Today, there's over 1 million abortions a year. There's 2,800 abortions a day. We're not to hinder or rebuke children in any way. We're not to forbid them in any way whatsoever at all. And we talk about like laws and such to tamper that and to bring those numbers down or to end it. And the only thing that's going to end it is the gospel. When people have the hope, when people have the understanding of redemption and have the understanding of what it means to be saved and understand salvation, that's when that's going to go away. But we're to set ourselves apart. We're to be apart. Just like the Jews were to be apart from all those pagan religions around, we're to be set apart also. And that's why we are pro-life. We are anti-abortion. We don't hinder. We don't rebuke the children. We celebrate the children. And that's what this past week was all about. It was all about celebrating the children. In verse 15, he says, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. It's the simple trust of a child. The simple trust of a child. Something that's really interesting is the form of will not, where you see this, when he says, if whoever does not receive, will not receive the kingdom of God. That will not there, I had to phone a friend this past week, and I said to Marge, I'm like, Marge, help me out. I need help with this grammar thing. I barely got past Hooked on Phonics, and my Pittsburghese is getting in the way. And I don't even remember. I wrote it down and I deleted it. What I wanted to say, and she's so special. She's so gracious to me. And she goes, you know what, Dan? I'm not even sure those are words. I think what you just tied together, they're letters. They're definitely letters. But I'm not quite sure those are words that you're using. So that will not enter. Jesus was so specific in that the way that is worded and how negative that is used very infrequently in the Bible. And he wasn't messing around. He was saying childlike faith or you will not enter. Like it was like childlike faith or the gates are closed. Do you understand? Like, he was not messing around. He was the indignant aspect of it. Like, I'm mad. How dare you? You know better. To the will not. Like, I am talking. Will not. Doors are shut. It is not a casual use of will not at all. And you think to yourself, okay, so childlike faith. How do I get childlike faith? How do I understand? How do I even begin to understand childlike faith when I'm an adult? I'm an adult. How do I do this? Well, I'm glad you asked. How do you do this? Well, as much as VBS, as much as the things that happen in Sunday school, as much as Awana is for the children, it's equally for us the same. It's equally the same for us. So if you want to know what childlike faith looks like, take a walk down that hall and poke your head into any of the doors at any time. Make sure you have your clearances. And you'll see the attitude it takes to receive the kingdom of God like a child. You'll see that a child doesn't care about who's the greatest. A child might care about who's leading the line. You know, it's neat because any line leader will tell you, like, these kids want to be the caboose just as much as they want to be the leader. And I think we got to watch the caboose kid because the caboose kid is going to leave that line. So I'm just saying. But You got to watch that because the childlike faith comes by, I don't care who's the greatest. I don't care about this election cycle that's coming up. A child doesn't care about those things. A child says, who's the greatest? Jesus. That's all they do. Who's the king? Jesus. You know, you ask a child any of those things, Jesus. That's all they say. They don't care about anything other than Jesus. And that's the faith, the same faith that we have to have. So we can serve down that hallway. Meredith, you need volunteers, right? Always need volunteers. Some of us can get on the ground. Some of us can't get back up off the ground once we get there. For those of you that are in column two, prayer. Prayer is needed for everybody down that hallway. The children, the teachers, the volunteers. Those classrooms are a blessing, and these kids are awesome. But for every, you know, 15 or so kids that are in, those beautiful, sweet, saint-like children, there's a little Danny Fennell in every one of those rooms, okay? Whose spiritual gift, their spiritual gift is teacher testing. And they will do that. So you need to pray for the teacher. You need to pray for the volunteer. Some of you have the gift of baking. And I greatly appreciate that, Nancy's. And if I catch anybody in the refrigerator down there this week, that's not going to be a good thing, okay? I randomly hid stuff, so nobody... I just signed a document before he left. I don't know why. But there is a need. There's a need of people. There's a need of prayer, obviously. And if that's when Christ is saying you need faith, like a childlike faith, to enter into the kingdom, it's down that hallway. It's in the youth. The youth will do the same thing. How many? 39, did you say? 36. That's awesome. Verse 16, and he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. So this is what the parents saw. This is why they brought the children. This is exactly why they brought the children. I can't even imagine being a parent and seeing this. You know, like, your heart would melt. Like, you've got the king. You've got a carpenter, okay? So we're talking paws. We're not talking. Jesus was not this meek, humble guy that we see on TV, like in all those movies. He's not. Carpenter. Carpenter, like back in the day, had to pick up stones, like big meaty hands, forearms, huge shoulders. He was a strong, strong man. It would have been like a bear grabbing these kids and holding them in, giving them a big bear hug, laying hands on them and blessing them. He received them and he blessed them. And that's the gospel. That is the gospel right there. Like, childlike faith. The faith that says, I'm a sinner, and I've done things that I don't want you to know about. I've done things that I wish you did not see. I've said things that I wish I'd never said. But I'm a sinner, and my Savior opens his arms with those big, meaty arms, forearms, huge shoulders. So all the weight of the world this man could handle, because he's God, welcomes you and receives you based upon your faith. The faith that he hung on a cross and he bled for you, the perfect sacrifice, the faith that in 3 days he rose from the dead, the only one to do that, the first fruits of the resurrection, the faith that says that right now he's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's our intercessor. That's the faith of a child. That's the same faith that we have. That's the faith that's down that hallway. And that's the faith that we have to have. The faith that we know that Jesus is King. And he says, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them. Now, as Paul Harvey would say, here's the rest of the story. Okay, why do we do this? Why do we do this? We do this because God's never on the defense. He's never on the defense. He's not up in heaven. He's not up in heaven worried about what's going to happen today, or what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going on? Like, that's not God. That's not our God. He's King. He's reigning, he's ruling right now. And the word gospel means good news. We always talk about that. Euangelion is the word. Euangelion, and that means something. This is what euangelion means. Back in the day, before there were cell phones, before there was anything, before there was even mail, when a battle or a war would happen, it would take weeks, months, even years for the news of the result of that war to make it back to the country, okay? So you had a sprinter. The guy's sole purpose was take the news and run back to where you were. And there was another man who would be up in a tower that could see far, far away. And when he saw the sprinter, based upon the gait and the way that sprinter was running, he could tell the results of the battle or the war. And then he would yell down to the person below, and then it would go out. Okay? So when the sprinter's running at a certain gate, the person looks out and he sees it. If it's good news, it's euangelion. euangelion. He would yell that, euangelion, euangelion, and it would go out. We win. That's the gospel, the good news, euangelion. That's what that means, euangelion. And the whole premise of that is the victory. It's the victory of Jesus. So, the children see this too. The children see the good news. The children know this, and they're not worried about who's the greatest, like I said, because they know. They don't worry about election results. They know because they know who the king is. And the last thing that Jesus said to the disciples, he said, go out and make disciples. He said that was his last commandment before he went up to heaven. And that wasn't a suggestion. That was not something that he didn't, it wasn't like a, hey, why don't you go do this? That was a commandment. And there is no easier way to make a disciple than to get involved down that hallway. Absolutely. No other, no easier way to make a disciple than work down that hallway. Because, like I said, the kids don't care about who's the greatest. They don't care. They say Jesus is the greatest. They don't care about the things of the world that are going on. They care about Jesus. Their attitude is focused on Jesus. And we're not to hinder that. We are not to hinder that at all. Deuteronomy 4:9. Only take care and keep your soul diligently. Thank you, March, for helping me out there. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. So he's talking. This is Moses talking to the Israelites. He's saying, remember the stuff that you saw? Remember when that sea parted and we walked across dry land? Remember when we were hungry and manna fell from the sky? He says, don't forget about that. He said, unless that depart from your heart. Don't let that depart from your heart. Make it known to your children and your children's children. Remind your kids about the great things that Christ did for you. Remind them about the great things that Christ will do for them. Remind your kids. Deuteronomy 6:5-9. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That's what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lay down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorposts and on your gates. So we are to be pouring out Christ. We should be sharing the gospel with these kids all the time. We're to raise them up in truth and light. This past week, how many children, Meredith, gave their lives to Christ? How many? Six, okay. The kingdom is growing every day. Know that. Know that. Like, the news is bad. We turn the news on. Like, 2 weeks ago, they're like, it's going to be 100 degrees. People will melt. It didn't get close to 100 degrees. Like, there, it wasn't even close. Everything's, this is the worst that it's ever been. It's been worse, like, I don't know, I wasn't alive during a world war, but I'm pretty sure the world war was a little worse than it is right now, okay? It's not good, but it ain't as, we have kids coming to the kingdom. We have people being saved every day. The church is growing. Don't listen to the news. The church is growing. The kingdom of God is growing. When we get to heaven, we're going to be like, it's going to be so crowded that we're not, it's going to be insane. Like, know that. Euangelion, man, the gospel, we win. Like, we will win. Know that. And know it starts down that hallway. It starts at home. It starts when we're in the car, when we're everywhere. Just pour into the kids. Ask them questions about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. We're to raise them up, like I said, in truth and light. We are to be the light. But we can't do that without prayer, so let's pray. Father, we just thank you again for this past week. We thank you for the children who heard the word, whose ears and eyes are beginning to open, Lord. We pray that you continually put people in their paths to share their gospel with them, to have full understanding of you and everything that your son has done for us, Lord. I pray for those kids. I pray for those families. I pray for all of our kids. I pray for strength and endurance for all that serve with the children, and I pray for encouragement for them because they are loved. Father, one of the blessings in heaven is going to be able to see our people, those that have gone before us. And one of the blessings, I believe, will be the way that the people that never hindered the children, that never rebuked the children, that always welcomed the children, the welcoming that they will get is going to be awesome. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for childlike faith. Thank you for pointing that out to us, Lord. And thank you for your big, mighty arms, your big hands that welcome not only the children, but welcome us when we repent and put our faith in your son. And those big arms, they never let us go, Lord. Thank you for that. And Jesus, we praise you for everything. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Wow, is this embarrassing? I had a benediction. This is why I have to sign stuff. I think he's on to something. Well, let's pray real quick. Father, again, we just praise you for your mighty arms. Praise you for the gift of faith. Praise you for the cross. We praise you for the empty tomb. We thank you for being our God. We thank you for being our Savior. And Jesus, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your mighty arms. And Holy Spirit, we just praise you for binding us, reconciling us to the Father, and binding us together. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.